Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Today I have Tom Campbell with me. I love having Tom on the show. Apparently I maybe simplify what Tom does a little bit too much from comments that I received on my last YouTube video, but I like to introduce Tom because there's a lot of people that follow Tom and know Tom, and you know, he has an incredible amount of information available to people on his forum, on YouTube. I mean, it's incredible. And I introduce him differently just because my show is on iHeartRadio and a lot of different places. So it's just a different format that people may not be aware of Tom. But Tom is an amazing physicist, and I love having Tom on the show because I don't have the science background. Tom can support what I do through physics and quantum physics and everything that Tom does. But he also has a very strong foundation on the spiritual side because he's been part of the Monroe Institute for, well, I think since its founding. And so Tom, you know, he has a way of simplifying things that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Always good to be here.
I know. I love having you on the show. Okay, so I thought since we're moving into the holiday season it's just like 2 days from now, you're having your Thanksgiving. Hopefully the audio will definitely be up before Thanksgiving, but the video, it'll be up shortly thereafter. It seemed pretty simple this time to process, and everything went well last time, so I'll get it up as quickly as I can. And I thought we'd talk about the holiday season because it's not just Thanksgiving. I mean, we're moving into another holiday. And it just seems that from the States, you know, once you hit Thanksgiving, you're pretty much thinking about Christmas. And I was joking with Tom at the beginning because, you know, even though I'm from Toronto, Black Friday still means something here. So we get to enjoy the sales too. Yeah, as long as we don't have to purchase in the States, we're good. Our dollars getting a little bit hit these days. But anyway, so let's talk about the holidays. I know that we tend to like to talk about the holidays because I love the magic that I feel around the holidays. I love that reminding essence of when we were children and that innocence and that excitement that would build around this time. And even though I don't remember ever necessarily having my expectations met, which is, I think, a lot of the problems with people when they think about the holidays. But I would connect in with that energy. It's just a magical energy at this time of year. So let's talk about that, and then we'll move into, you know, what people can do when they're not feeling that energy.
Okay. I agree with you. I do feel that that energy you talk about as well. And I think part of that it's just that we tend to get bumped out of our ruts, if you will, at around Thanksgiving time. You know, all the rest of the year, it's get up, go to work, you know, come home, go to work, come home. And we just do that. You know, then we have a weekend. But the weekends are really, really busy because there's all the things you're supposed to do, and you only get about half of them done. And then it's go back to work, and we just are kind of in that rut.
Right.
And particularly, the summertime, which has a lot of fun things going on the side. But then we get into the October, November, and a lot of that summertime stuff is gone. And by the time we get to the end of November, we're looking for something to help us get out of that, go to work, come home, go to work rut. So the holidays come up, and I think everybody just kind of looks forward to things being a little different because there's going to be a lot of parties, a lot of socialization. There's a lot of focus on family. Relatives you haven't seen all year will come by, or you'll go to see them. And it's just like, it's not that same old humdrum, routine existence. So I think everybody kind of gets up for the holidays just for no other reason. It just is a little relief from the rut that we tend to get in and live in most of the time. And it's because we have relatives coming and family, we start spending more of our time thinking about others rather than thinking about ourselves. It's not, you don't go through the holidays just, contemplating your own navel. You go through the holidays thinking about other people and the connections that you're going to make, because it's a very social time of year. So I think that's sort of the feeling, even if, even if there aren't those magic memories, which there aren't for a lot of people, it's still a pretty neat time of the year.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it feels like it's more the energy that's magical. I think, yes, we've commercialized Christmas and we've made it all about, I think we've made it more about receiving than we have necessarily about giving, but it is about giving. And I think, it kind of plays back and forth about giving and receiving. The expectations that we have certainly are about the receiving and not about the giving. But we also have expectations about the giving too, because we want to make sure we get the perfect gift for someone. So we kind of play around with that energy. But to me, it's like there's this, I don't know, it's like we're close to the magic of, I don't want to necessarily say Santa, because I don't know that it has necessarily anything to do with Santa, but it is that generosity, it's that compassion, it's that expansion of anticipation, or, where we move into an energy, as you say, of more of caring for people because more people are coming around. Obviously, a lot of people have issues with their family, and we can chat about that. I think, we get caught up in, I guess, again, it's all about our expectations. So I think when we can look at what our motivation is for the holidays and not what our expectations are, we can switch a lot of that around, because a lot of people, our motivation is what? To have the perfect family get together, to, have the perfect home, to have everything perfect. And when it comes to the word perfect, it seems to be all about ego, because it really isn't about, what your place looks like or how you do something or whether it's perfect. It's really about sharing and connecting with people. And because we always wait until the holidays to remember to connect with people. It's like we say, oh, well, we'll wait until the holidays. And then, of course, once the holidays come, it's really, really busy for everybody else. And so we don't always get together. But it's like it's energy of, I don't know, excitement that is around at this time of the year, because we connect in with that magical moment or that magical feeling that people want when they're, I guess, imagining what Christmas or the holidays can be for them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think you mentioned something very key in that talk. And that was you mentioned the word intent and motivation. And I think that is the key thing here. Because, the holidays are downers for some people.
Yeah.
Some people get depressed during the holidays.
A lot of people.
So this, whether it's depression or whether it's that magic moment, that spirit that makes you happy, depends on your intention. So that's individual. Every individual is different.
Right.
We exchange gifts at Christmas and we invite people over for dinner and go to other people's houses for dinner and Thanksgiving. And there is giving there, but it depends on your intent. If your intent is such that it's the giving that's significant, then it's a happy time. If it's about the other people, it's a happy time. If it's about yourself, then it's a, oh no, I got to fix that big dinner again. And what a mess. And I'll have to clean the whole thing up. and you say, or I've got to buy presents for everybody, you know. How ridiculous, you know. We should just cut that out and you know, not do that next year, you know. It's a hassle. Or everybody else is having fun and I'm not, you know. Right. I'm lonely during the holidays and I don't have a family to go to, and I sit by myself, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And if you know, if your attitude is one of woe is me, or all the things I have to do, I have to cook big dinners, I have to buy gifts, I have to get them wrapped, you know, I have to send out Christmas letters, and you can get into all of that from a self-focused view, and it's all about you and what you need to do and your schedule, and then how other people will see you. Oh, they're going to come to your house and, you know, for dinner. Oh, you're going to have to clean. You're going to have to do all these other things in your house because you don't want them to know how you live, you know, day to day. You want them to think, you know, that your house looks like nobody lives there, because that's the way we think our houses ought to look.
Right.
You know,
so true.
You know, if you see it from your own, you know, from the self-focused point of view, then it's just a lot of work these holidays, and you can't wait till they're gone, because it's, you know, and you kind of look at it, magic, what magic? You know, that's a lot of nonsense. You know, okay, it's magic for the children, but, you know, after you're 16, you know, grow up, you know, it's not magic. It's just a lot of work. You see, the people get into that idea, and there's many people who get depressed during the holidays. They find it an awful time, and they can't wait to get out on the other side of it. And when they celebrate on New Year's Eve, they're as much celebrating the end of the holidays as anything else, because that season is just not magic for them. But even if they are by themselves, they probably don't have to be. People who are by themselves, mostly, that's a choice. That's not just a circumstance. Now, that might not be true for everybody. If you're a trapper and you're in a little cabin somewhere in the middle of the snowfields of Alaska, then maybe you're by yourself and that's just the way it is. But for most of us, that's not the problem. Most of us, if we're by ourselves, it's because we choose to be by ourselves. And we choose to be by ourselves because of our fear. We don't want to reach out and engage with other people. We don't want to become parts of other people's lives or have them become parts of our lives, because we don't think we've got that much to share or give, or we would be appreciated, or that people would like us, or et cetera, et cetera. It's that fear that kind of keeps us lonely, keeps us by ourselves and away from people. And that strategy, and it's a very common strategy, is this, and that is, people think that I can't lose if I don't play.
Right.
So that means that if they don't get engaged, they don't get in the game, you know, they don't connect with people, then they can't lose. So that's true. If you can't, you know, if you don't play, you can't lose. On the other hand, you're guaranteed not to win if you don't play. So if losing is not winning, then you're guaranteed to lose. You say you will lose, in that it's not a good strategy. But people use that strategy for all sorts of things, where they kind of remove themselves from a situation that they find
stressful,
brings up fear, stress, that sort of thing. But see, again, that's self-focused. That's all about you. It's about your stress. It's about your fear. It's about your feelings and inadequacy. And you are kind of stewing, you know, in your own ego there when you get into those things. You let fear overwhelm you so that you can't reach out. You can't get in the game because you're overwhelmed by the fear. And that's a really sad state to be in, because that means you're unhappy. That means you have no joy in your life and very little, you know, satisfaction. Even if you try to convince yourself that, oh, I'm okay by myself. Actually, I like it like this. So on, but for all of that, it's probably, that's more humma trying to convince yourself than it is reality. Because where we get our choices that matter, where we have the traction to grow up, is when we're engaged with other people. That's where the you know, the rubber meets the road as far as ego reduction goes, is when you interact with other people. You remove yourself from this interaction, and you're removing yourself from the opportunities, from the from the choices. Now, instead of lots of choices, you have a much smaller set of choices. Oh, yes, they're safe choices. You know, nobody's going to tell you that you're ugly. Nobody's going to tell you you've gained weight. You know, nobody's going to tell you that, look at, this messy house you live in. You know, how could you live like that? You see, nobody's going to do any of those things. And you're not going to have to wash 50 dishes because, the family was over at your house. And you're not going to have to sit around and listen to Uncle Fred talk about, his old war memories for the 15th time. But again, all of that is just self-centered. It's all about you and your wants. It's not about Uncle Fred. It's not about, connecting with these people and being with them and appreciating them for who and what they are. And that's the difference. So it's attitude, it's intent, it's motivation. And if this is not your time of year, because there's a lot of anxiety goes with holidays, and a lot of stress goes with holidays because of all the parties and the people coming over. And these aren't people you really like that much anyway. You just hang out with them because they're family or they're friends or they want to come see you, and you've got all this stuff. All that negative stuff is just self-focused. It's all about you. If you can let that go, and it's all fear-based. The reason it's all about you is because it's all fear-based, ego-based, belief-based. It's your expectations. It's what do I want? What makes me feel comfy? Well, I could, if people all came and praised me, for a day, maybe that would be good and I'd be happy with that. But if I go just interact with people, I just won't play that game. Therefore, I won't get hurt. It won't bother me that nobody seems to appreciate me. See? So I just won't appreciate anybody else and then I'm safe. Well, that's a strategy guaranteed to lose and make you unhappy and miserable. So any of you out there listening to this, if that's your thing, that these holidays are really annoying because they're a depressing time, well, it's not the holidays that create this problem. It's you that create this problem. It's your choice. And how do you get through that choice? Courage. You just have to go, interact, engage with people. And don't think about yourself when you're doing it. Find out about them. What are they doing? What's their life like? And don't judge them. Just be with them. Just connect. Share part of their life. And they will want to share a part of yours. And allow them to do that. And you will find this holiday season to be, just as Lori says, magical. There is a lot of magic in this time because we do interact with people. And that's where, that's where the love is. It's the interacting with people. Go sit in your cave, but that's not where the love is, in your cave. The love is interacting with other people. And you have to get out of the self-focus into the caring about others and not judging others. Just being with them, appreciating them for whoever and what they are. Yes, even that Uncle Fred who tells all those stories every year and you have to listen. Well, enjoy the story. Listen to it again. Pat Uncle Fred on the back because you'll make him feel good. And then you'll feel good that you made him feel good. Don't worry about the story. Don't worry about your having to suffer through it one more time. Stop suffering. Just enjoy it. Uncle Fred is who he is. Find him to be a delightful old codger who is, kind of wrapped up around his stories and find delight in that, rather than be annoyed by it. It's all in your attitude. You can't blame it on Uncle Fred and all the people and the terrible commercialized Christmas and all the hucksters and all the hustlers that are trying to grab your money during the season. And you could dwell on the negative, but that won't take you any place nice. It won't take you any place productive, and it won't help you grow up. That's just kind of wallowing in your own ego, in your own self, it's all about me. Oh, woe is me. I have to put up with all this stuff. So that's the other side to this magic. It isn't magic if you don't get out and connect. If you don't have the right attitude, then it's not magic at all. It's not fun. So, yes, it can be a magic time, but only if you become part of the magic. If you're not part of the magic yourself, if you don't engage with the magic, then you'd just be going through the motions. You know, you still may invite people over. You still may go to others' houses and go to parties, but you're just going through the motions. You know, you're doing the small talk and you can't wait till, you know, you've been there a couple hours so you can leave, that sort of thing. You know, that you're missing the point that way. It's you know, that's not what it's about. It's about caring and sharing with other people. Just, it's finding other people delightful, finding other people fun just because they are, and just because they are the way they are. Not to judge them, but just to share with them, you know, a part of their life. That's where the magic is. It's not in the stuff, and it's not in the presents. You know, my wife, Pamela, she's real funny about giving presents.
Yeah.
She spends a lot of time getting just the right present, and once she's gotten it, she just can't wait to give it. You know, it just drives her nuts not to give it. And she probably gives, you know, almost all of her Christmas presents to the people that she's bought them for before Christmas ever happens, because she just can't wait that long. Yeah, it's that sort of thing. She has this, and she knows it's going to be so much fun, you know, to give them this and watch their expression and see this, that, you know, she's one of these people who goes out and starts Christmas buying early, gives it all away by Thanksgiving, and then has to go out and do it again. So, and then she can't wait till Christmas either. So it's one of those things. She's got, I have a birthday coming up, and she says, I got something for your birthday. And I know that I will never wait till my birthday before that gift comes out, because she just can't wait that long. She is just so anxious, you know, to give something. And for her, it's the giving is what really is fun for her. And whether she gets anything or not, she really doesn't care, because she's like me. She has everything she wants. And if she finds something she wants, she goes out and gets it, you know, when she wants it. So it's not a matter of that she's deprived and needs things and is looking forward to the presents she gets. She just looks forward to the, you know, to giving things to people. And she's real funny that way. She just is so excited that she can't wait. So we do Christmas like, you know, three times, you know, before Christmas actually happens. You know, we buy things and then we give them away and then have to buy more things. So it's just the way it is here around my house when Christmas time comes. But it's fun.
Sounds like she gets caught up in the magic of the time.
Yes, she does. She gets very excited about it.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the fun part, that, and it's exactly as you say, like, the only reason we get depressed and lonely is because we're focusing on ourselves. And that's not what the holidays are about. Like, it's truly not what the holidays are about. And, you know, I think we get confused with all of the information that bombards us all the time. Because when you were talking about, you know, hiding away in a cave, I mean, to some people, they think that's what they really want. They want to go onto the mountain. They want to, you know, reach enlightenment by themselves. They want to do all of this stuff that takes them away. But they're not evolving towards love. They're not moving into that, you know, that compassionate and caring place. And I wonder, you know, when people say they, you know, they don't know how to love themselves, like, I wonder if we just get so caught up in having to, you know, the burden of thinking, one, you know, we need to reach enlightenment and we need to get there and we need, you know, all of these things that distract us and all of the, you know, the family dramas and all of that stuff. Like, we really kind of have this dichotomy where we're pulled kind of so many different ways that we don't know what to focus on. We don't know how to move in the right direction, because there's so much information out there that is different. Like it's, you know, one person, you know, I did a great interview about someone and they, you know, they were talking all about how important it is, you know, to hold in your own energy and it's all about you. And then, you know, it's just, I think it's amazing because we're just like bombarded all the time with different information that conflicts.
Yes, we are. And what makes that worse is that we try to deal with all of that information and process it entirely with our intellect.
Mm.
And that makes the whole thing worse, you see, because then we take our intellect and we say, well, you know, yogis go off into the mountains and sit in caves for, you know, for 5 years and, you know, get up and walk out of the cave enlightened. You know, well, that's what I need. How could anybody get enlightened in my, you know, on my treadmill?
Exactly.
You know, I live on this treadmill and I have all these things. My day is planned from when my eyes pop open to when they go shut again.
Exactly.
Every, you know, I'm busy, busy, busy. And I drop into the bed. I'm exhausted. I get up and do it all again. And that how could anybody, you know, become spiritual with that kind of a life? So they think about, you know, it all intellectually. And if you're pursuing enlightenment with your intellect, you've already lost the bubble on enlightenment. You're not going to get there because
right.
it's not an intellectual achievement.
Process, yeah.
You see, you can't get to enlightenment through an intellectual process. That's not it. And you can go sit in the cave and imagine how grown up you are and how much, you know, you are the embodiment of love. But when you come out of that cave and, you know, somebody, you know, runs into you, knocks you down, steps on your foot, you know, slams the door in your face, you know, all the things that happen to you in the day-to-day life, then you're right back where you started, you see. So the only thing for you to do then is go back to your cave. Well, you haven't really grown up much.
Right.
Okay. It's not an intellectual pursuit. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some advantage to somebody leading an ascetic life for a while. You know, there's a lot can be said for reflection. For, you know, getting off the treadmill for a while and taking stock of just who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And maybe should you make changes? You know, there's some advantage to that. But that's not, you know, that doesn't take year after year. That is, you know, that's something you can do anyway. Even if you are on that treadmill, you have time. You just don't choose to take it for reflection. You just don't choose. You choose to watch TV instead. You choose to, you know, do other things instead. So it's not a matter that you don't have time and it's impossible. It's not possible. You can evolve the quality of your consciousness. You can grow up without changing anything on the outside. You only need to change what's on the inside. That's where all the change has to take place. It's not your job. It's not your environment. It's not your family. It's not your friends. You know, it's none of that stuff. It's you. And you can find whatever time you need without much trouble. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, you just don't understand my day. But yes, I know. I've been there. You know, I've done that. And you can find the 5 or 10 or 15 minutes out of a day that you can be introspective, and that introspective time can be processing in the back of your mind while you're doing other things. You can do it. Everybody can. And the dropping out for a short period of time, we call that a vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go on a vacation and that's fine. And that does regenerate you and it does make you feel better and gives you a chance to think. But many of us, our vacations are more fast-paced, you know, than our treadmills, right? On the vacation, you know, we've got 20 things we want to see and things we have to do and places to go. And we're run, run, run. It's just we're on a different treadmill. We're on the vacation treadmill rather than the work treadmill. And we come back refreshed as far as the job goes because we've been away from the job for a while. So some of that routine is gone and makes us feel better. But we still haven't taken any time out to reflect and to think and to take stock of who and what we are and where we're going and what we need to do and, you know, how we should approach, you know, our future and our growth and so on. Most of us don't do that. In fact, most of us do just the opposite. when we are alone and have time to think, we go, turn a radio or a TV on or plug earphones into our head or some other kind of thing, just so we don't have to think about anything personal. You know, we make sure we don't have that opportunity because that opportunity frightens us. We don't know how to do it. Who are we? Geez, I don't know that I want to know because, you know, it might change something. And I just got my life kind of balanced now. So, yeah, we avoid it. So this holiday time does have some R&R. It does have vacations and more holidays than our normal time. You know, there is more time for reflection here. And as you meet other people and go to their houses and have your parties at work and involve with other people, that's a really good time also to do your reflection, because who you are will show up and express itself most readily and most obviously in your interactions with other people. So just being with people, interacting with them, will tell you a whole lot about you. Matter of fact, it'll tell you a whole lot more about you than it will tell you about them. So the holiday season can be a great time for growth, for growing up, for seeing, you know, who you are. How do you lead with your fear and ego, or do you not? You know, it's much easier time to do that than most of the rest of the year. So, you know, I'd say get out there and get engaged, have a good time, and pay attention to your motivations and your thoughts and your energy. Is it negative? Is it positive? Is it about you? Is it about others? You know, where are you? And then kind of recalibrate.
Right. And it's all about our focus, because if, again, the focus is on me, you know, what am I getting from this? You know, how is it helping me? Then we're still missing that point, because, I mean, it kind of has the same energy when I think of, the enlightenment process. You know, some people believe Tantra is a way to do it because it allows you to connect with another person and you can reach it that way. And a lot of people feel that you have to do it alone. But in going with what we've been talking about in the holiday season and that magic, I mean, it really is about how we can care for others. It really is about opening our hearts and focusing outside of us with that compassion and that caring and that loving and understanding than it is worrying about, you know, well, what can I do, or what can I think about, or what, you know, how do I change, you know, what I'm creating, because it's all about my thoughts. I mean, it's really not about me. It's about you.
Yeah. And you make a good point. We often look for prescriptions, for ways, for processes of doing things. And you mentioned, well, okay, there's the tantric process. There's a process. And there's lots of other processes. And if you go into the self-help realm there, you'll find hundreds, if not thousands of processes that are guaranteed to make you a better person and to show you the light and, to lead to enlightenment and all the rest of those things. And the thing is that any process will do. It's not that, you know, this is the special way that, you know, that works. Anything will work, any process, even just going to other people's houses during the holiday, you know, any process will work if you are open to that, you know, to what it is you're doing. If you are trying to learn, if you are, you know, noticing your ego and then saying, oops, I got to cut that out, you know, or your negative thoughts, or you're judging, oh, look at Aunt Sally, she's wearing one of those dresses again, you know, and we get into all of this judging non-useful kinds of attitudes. And the holidays is a good time to catch yourself doing that and kind of trace that back to the ego, to the fear, and then work on, you know, evolving out of that situation. But anything is a good process for growing up. The difference isn't the process. It's not the technique that will, you know, get you to grow up. It's you, you know, it's, you know, so all these things can do it, right? But a lot of that's the placebo effect. you go into a process, and this process is the, you know, some kind, it's got a long name. Maybe if it's got a couple science words in it, you know, that's impressive. You know, it's the quantum, you know, something or other, you know, process. And just because you kind of have this idea, well, okay, this will work and I'll learn these things, well, that makes you more open to it. That's how the placebo effect works. You know, just the fact that it's got good marketing makes it more likely that it's going to actually work for you, because you will have a more positive attitude going into it. Well, you can take that positive attitude and just apply it to your life any old time. You don't have to pay, you know, $3,000 to go to some process, you know, someplace. You can apply that positive attitude anytime, anywhere. And again, it works better if you're engaged with people. You know, applying a positive process while you sit alone in a cave just doesn't have a lot of choices. There's not a lot of options there. It's in our engagement with others is where we have these opportunities to grow up. And the holidays are magic because we have more interaction with other people during those times. And that's what its magic is, and that's where it comes from. But if we sit around, grumbling about the, you know, oh, yes, it's so commercial, it's this, it's that, you know, all these expectations. And, you know, if we just sit around and judge and grumble, then we miss the opportunity. Matter of fact, we do the opposite. We're now making choices that are dragging us backwards, de-evolving us into being more self-focused and more fearful. So, it's opportunity time. Here we are, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving and we're going into Christmas, and it's opportunity time to connect with other people and in the process do some self-analysis and some looking at how you do that, and are you negative and are you self-focused? And if so, don't just say, oh, I guess that's me, you know, I guess I have to live with it. You know, decide to change it. Decide to be some other way.
Okay, so let's give some examples. So we're dreading going home because we know that every time we do, you know, there'll be something that's said that will trigger us and push us to get really angry and really frustrated. And of course, it's fear. But, you know, our family triggers us. So whether it's our parents or our siblings, you know, or our children, we get triggered. So what can we do instead so that we're not being triggered? Like, what can our focus be when those moments come up?
Well, to start with, we should look at those triggers.
Right.
All right. Every time we go home and visit the parents, you know, they're still trying to parent us. They're still trying to tell us what to do. You know, they're going to take one look at you and tell you you ought to lose weight. You know, they're going to, on and on and on, because they're still trying to be the parents, because they're going to be your parents forever. And they still care about you. That's why they're still trying to help you by telling you the things they think you need to know that you don't understand. And of course, it isn't like that. You see, you know very well, and you just don't want to be told again. So the thing is, you have to look at those trigger points. Look at those things that when you go places, and particularly with family, that it's just something you're not looking forward to. You know, what are those things that you dread? And not just with family, but about the whole season.
Right.
Take a look at all the holidays, and what are those things you're just not looking forward to? Well, all of those things connect to your ego. If it wasn't for your ego, you wouldn't have any of those feelings. You wouldn't have any dread if it wasn't for your ego. All right? Now, you wouldn't have that ego if it wasn't for your fear. So now you have an opportunity before you even go home or go into the, you know, the party at work or whatever, to do some self, looking at yourself, some analysis and cogitation on yourself. And all of those things that are uncomfortable are ego and fear. Find the fear. Try to deal with it. And now, going to see mom and dad or the kids or, you know, the in-laws or whomever you're going to go, now it's a challenge, okay? You spent the last 3 weeks leading up to this, you know, holiday season dealing with your fear and your ego and the things that trigger you. And now when you get there and mom looks at you and says, oh, sweetheart, you look kind of heavy. You need to lose some weight. Of course, she tells you that every year when you see her. And now it's Thanksgiving and you know you're going to just put on weight, not lose it, you know, and so on. And that's, you just don't want to, you know, go there or deal with that. Well, see what your fear is. Your fear of being inadequate. Your fear of not doing what you should be doing. That you should be losing weight. And you don't want to be reminded that you're not, you know, doing things that are healthy and you're not eating well and so on like that. Because then that makes you feel guilty and you don't like feeling guilty. So, you know, it's, you find that fear and deal with it. Accept it. And say, okay, now when I go see mom and she tells me that, I'm just going to smile and think, you know, mom, you're just delightful. You're just so cute. There, you know, I'm 50 years old and you're still trying to raise me. You know, I appreciate that. You know, you must care a lot, you know, to do that. And you just turn it around. And now as she tells you these things that annoys you, it'll make you smile because you see that she's not trying to upset you. She actually thinks she's being helpful,
right.
You see, and it's just the way it is. And it's the same with, you know, with Uncle Fred telling his old war stories. You know, he's not trying to annoy you. It's just his life. That's right. That's what is meaningful to him. That's what grips him. And he's sharing it. And okay, he shared it, you know, 100 times, but that's okay. That's him. He's expressing that. And you have to look at him and, you know, that, and smile at him and say, well, that Uncle Freddy, you know, this stuff really means a lot to him. That was the defining moments in his life that changed him dramatically. And try to see how he was and is and that change and what maybe he still might be struggling with, which is why he tells them over and over. He still may be trying to reconcile some things. Ask him some questions about it rather than just try to get away, you know, and, oh, excuse me, Uncle Fred, I got to go help Aunt Sally with the dishes, you know, just some way to, you know, get away, you know, be there, listen, see what he's, not just what he's saying, what is he feeling, you know, what was the connection, asking some questions, that may be the highlight of your whole visit, just that interaction at a level of caring and sharing rather than a level of trying to get away because it's annoying you. You see, you can, it's just you. You can turn these situations into fun, warm, caring situations just by the way you interpret what's going on. Rather than interpret about it annoys you, interpret it as finding what is it, what's going on inside their heads. And for the most part, these people aren't mean and not trying to, you know, to get you or anything. They actually are trying to be entertaining or trying to be helpful. Your parents will always be raising you, no matter if they're 90, you know, and you're 70, you know, they'll still be trying to, you know, to raise you. It's just the way it is. That's how parents relate to the children. It's hard to do that any other way. And you do the same thing to your children, and they feel the same way. They go, oh, mom, you know. And but it's not, you know, it's because you love them and care about them. And if they could see that in you, they just smile at you and give you a hug and appreciate, you know, the love that you're giving to them. So you gotta find that positive thing and relate to that, not that negative thing, which is all about you. The positive thing is about them, understanding them, their viewpoint. So yes, if you've got these, oh no, you know, we're gonna have to, you know, put up with this again, you know, going to get, see the in-laws and they're gonna tell us, you know, how smart they are and how dumb we are and, you know, all the books we need to read and all the things we need to do and all the organizations we need to join and, oh, you know, what a drag. And you have that. Well, instead, get into their life. Get into, you know, make it about them. Find out why they feel that way, you know. Make it a point to share, connect, instead of judge and be self-focused. So it's that gets back to what you said. It's all about intent. It's all about motivation. If your intent and motivation are right, you'll find this holiday season to be really nice because you're going to run into a lot of people that you can share and connect and care about, you see. And if you don't, if you have the wrong intent and the wrong motivations, you're going to find all of it a big waste of time and annoying. And by the time you get through it, you'll be so glad that's gone. And instead of evolving, you will have let that opportunity go. And instead of grabbing the gold ring and growing up, you will have grabbed the black ring and will have sunk one step further back into, you know, your own misery. And that's your choice. You can go for that gold ring, or you can reach out and try to get that black one. But, you know, it's your choice. So that's the thing. The holidays are what we make them. It's what we bring to it that makes it magic.
Right.
See, we bring the magic to it. The magic isn't out there for us to grab and for us to get. The magic is what we bring to it. And it's not only the holidays. That's the way it is with all the rest of your life. The magic is what you bring, not what's given to you. It's what you give. That's where the magic comes from. So that's just the way life is. But it particularly shows itself in the holidays because that's more social time. You know, summer's a social time, right?
Yes.
We meet up with people. We go to the swimming pool. We go to the beach with them. We do things with other people. So summer is a social time. But the holidays, this little patch of November, December, is a very social time as well. I guess we had to have at least some little piece of social time in the winter, right? Or we'd all come out the other end in the spring being depressed. So, it's nice to have a little social time in kind of the middle of the winter season.
But right.
It all up to us as to what we make out of it. We will find that magic there. We will watch those children, you know, and their big eyes and their excitement. And we will have a lot of fun just being, just interacting, if we can just let go of our fear, let go of our ego, let go of our expectations, you know, all that negative stuff. So get prepared. Holidays are coming, you know. Think about all those things that drive you nuts about the holidays, you know, and all those people who are going to be annoying to have to spend time with. And realize it's not them, it's you that choose to be annoyed and that choose, you know, to be grumpy.
Right.
It's not them at all. And now you have a chance to fix you. You got a couple of weeks yet to fix you. And then you go test it. See how you're doing, you know. See if you've actually fixed anything, or does that stuff still annoy you? Well, if it does, all you've done is paper it over with your intellect. You haven't really fixed it, you see. Then go work on it some more. So this is a good season because you're going to get immediate feedback. It is going to be social.
Right. And you know, I think about, you know, judgments. And really, judgments are just our fears. Like, we want to put it on somebody else and say, oh, you know, we see other people's faults, but it's really still a reflection of something inside of us. Like every time we
right.
judge, we're really just reflecting some fear that we have inside of us.
Right. When we put Aunt Susie down because she has that big beehive hairdo right out of the 1950s, you know, so we snicker at her. That's our own fear of being inadequate or not being good enough is why we put her down to make ourselves feel better. Oh, we're better than her. You know, we're cooler. We're, you know, more suave and debonair, and she's so dated. And all we're saying is that we're good. We're trying to make ourselves feel better by putting somebody else down.
Right.
You know, if they're worse than we are, then we're better by comparison. And that's just a fear thing. The fear is that we're really not so good either. But if we can find somebody that's worse than us or worse off than us, then we feel better. Well, that's a real bad attitude, you know, putting other people down to make yourself feel better. But that's what a lot of our judging is. It's finding the negative in others so that we're really patting ourselves on the back. It's ego. And the ego's there because we really inside know that we're not all that much either. So we need some patting in the back to try to convince us that we're really not so bad. You know, that's what the ego does. That's the ego's job, right? Is to make us not notice the fear. So yes, indeed. It's all of that negativity is yours. You choose that negativity. It's not them. Every bit of it is you. Anything that makes you upset or anxious or angry or anything else or annoyed or, you know, any of those negative things. It's you that choose to be that way. It's not somebody else or some other thing making it that way.
Right.
You know, yes, Christmas is very commercial. Well, that's just the way it is. It's the nature of, it's a reflection of our general low quality of consciousness that, you know, we will figure out a way to make a buck on anything. Just the nature of us. But that means to work all the harder to try to grow yourself up, because then you will be an inspiration. You'll be a light that'll shine, you know, for other people. You can't go out and change the other people. You can only change yourself. So if there's something in this world that seems like, oh man, it's really, you know, it's really bad here, it's not very grown up, well, your solution to that is to grow yourself up and be a good example. You can't go to those other people and tell them they're not grown up and they need to change, because that just won't work. The only thing that'll work is that if you fix yourself and become that example. And when you do fix yourself, then everybody else becomes okay too. Even if they are trying to make a buck or whatever else, you can see the humanity in them. You can see beyond just their problems and their ego and their fear. You see there's a human in there trying to do the best they can with what they've got, and they're struggling. And then you feel compassion and empathy for them, rather than being aggravated at what it is they're doing in their struggle. You see? So it all just kind of fixes itself if you can fix yourself.
And sometimes it's not even, well, yes, it's about fixing, but sometimes it's just about accepting. Like sometimes if we can just say, yeah, this is me, this is the one area that, you know, pushes my buttons the most, but have fun with it. Like we make all of this so serious. Like if we could just see it as the game, if we could just see ourselves as the sim and not this, you know, heavy, challenging, you know, difficult part. Like, it's like if we could just play and have fun, we wouldn't take all these things so seriously and take everything so personally. And we're always thinking everything is, you know, everybody's judging us, and, you know, because we're not happy with who we are, or we're not happy about something in ourselves, so we judge others. Like, it's just this revolving cycle of, you know, of serious, challenging problems, instead of just, you know, being light and saying, woo, you know, and laughing at ourselves. If we could only laugh at ourselves.
Yeah. Well, that's the focus. If you focus on the junk and you focus on the problems, that's what you'll see.
Right.
And pretty soon you won't see anything else.
Right.
All the world will be, you know, just problem after problem after problem. And you can't see anything else because that's what you're focusing on. And if you focus on yourself and your own inadequacies, that's all you'll see is an inadequate self. And if you focus on your ego, you know, everything's about you. And your ego is trying to cover up that fear. So it's your tent. It's what you focus on. It's, you know, again, it all gets back to you, not to other people.
Right.
And this holiday season is just a great time to break out of that. Try to do it a little differently, because you are going to go out there and meet people. You can't help it during the season. Somebody is going to grab you and drag you to some social event, whether you want to go or not, because this is the season to be drugged to social events. And, you know, if where you work, you know, people will have parties, and where, you know, if you're retired, family will have parties and whatever else. You know, this is the season, and go out and see if you can't do it positively. See if you can't do it without the fear and without the ego. And, you know, that's a challenge. And the way you do it is exactly what you said. Just lighten up. Just have fun. Just be. And just don't worry about who says what to who or what anybody thinks about anything you're doing. Just be and enjoy the people and let everything else take care of itself.
And just acknowledge that a trigger is just a fear that's being, you know, shown up in your face. But if you can laugh at it instead of getting all caught up in it and having that anxious energy or that anger or whatever it, you know, promotes within you. I mean, if you could just lighten up and, you know, just say, yeah, crap,
right,
that really bugs me. But say, wow, it's just a fear. Like, it's just something, It's just something I'm thinking. It's not something they're doing on purpose. They're not trying to hurt me.
Right. Actually, they probably, if it's your family, they're probably trying to help you.
Yeah.
They just don't understand that, haven't yet learned that you don't reach out and change other people.
Right.
You know, they're trying to do that.
Right.
And you can't change anybody but yourself.
Right.
What you can do for other people is give them an environment that makes it easier for them to change themselves. And you don't do that by telling them what's wrong with them. You know, that doesn't give them an environment that makes it easier for them to change themselves. So they just haven't learned that yet. So
yeah.
They're still trying to reach out and fix you, you know, change something, point something out to you that they think that somehow you just don't notice, you know, and they haven't gotten there yet. But here they are trying, even if they're doing it wrong. And you have to look at that try and you have to smile at it. You know, that's just the way they are. And, you know, they're now in their 70s and 80s and whatever. And it's just the way they are. That's just how they're made. Again, everybody's doing the best they can with what they've got. And, yeah, there's a lot of things they don't understand, but it's not yours to teach them,
right.
You know. But you can look at them and smile and not judge or be upset. So it's just that kind of an attitude. Just see things as they are and don't take everything personally,
right.
You know, that it's all about you. Again,
right.
Taking things personally is it's all about me. You know, everybody who says anything to me, you know, it's all about me. And it's not really about you at all. Most of the time, it's not about you. You just think it is. And instead, make it all about them. And you'll see. And if people are rude or people say things that are intentionally harmful, well, just let that go. That's the way they are. It's not, again, that's not about you. You know, if they say something rude to you about some inadequacy, you know, that they see in you, well, that tells you a lot about them.
Right.
It doesn't tell you anything about you, you see. So you have to look at it again. It's about them. It's not about you. And rude people telling you oodles about themselves and their feeling and the level of unhappiness and their fears and their inadequacy and all of that stuff. Bullies tell you about their fears and their inadequacy and how weeny and inept they feel, and they have to put on a big bluster in order to cover all of that up. That's their ego. And when you see that, then you don't take it personally, you see, because it's really not about you. It's about them. Even if you're the one on the, you know, taking the brunt of it, it's still, that's about them, not about you. So you just don't accept it. You don't reach out and embrace, you know, that message. Okay, they're telling you something, you know, that why they don't like you, you know, or why you are a little bit of nothing, and they're explaining that to you. Well, you just don't accept that message. That's just not it. Listen to what they're telling you about themselves, about the state of their mind, and why they're doing this. Don't make it about you. You see, that's your own ego. As soon as your ego and your fear get snagged and engaged with their ego and their fear, then it's a lose-lose. Everybody's going to lose in that situation. But you don't have to engage your fear and your ego. See, again, that's your choice. You can outgrow that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think, you know, all we have to do is to just realize, I mean, start with ourselves. But, you know, one of the things that I like to think about is, you know, all everybody ever wants is to be loved and to love. I mean, no matter what people say, no matter what people do, inside, we all just want to be loved and love. So we may do it wrong. We may do it, you know, in a way that doesn't help, isn't helpful for others, but we can't do anything about the other person. And that's exactly what you've been saying. Like, we can't change that other person. We just accept them, accept ourselves, and just be more playful and light, and then connect in with yourself and that magic, and you'll have an amazing holiday season.
Yes, absolutely. And you'll have amazing the rest of your life.
Yes.
It won't just be your holiday
exactly.
season. All the things we're talking about here, the holiday season, are true of every other day, you know, when it's not a holiday season. They all work exactly the same way. And they work at home with the family. They work at work, you know, with your coworkers and your bosses. It's all the same thing. We're just talking about life and people, you know, interacting with other people. And if you do that from ego and fear, you're not going to have a good time. You're going to walk away upset, and you are going to live in a life of stress and very little satisfaction. If you do it with love and caring, your life is going to be a blast. You're going to enjoy. You will be happy. You'll have fun, and joy will be with you all the time. It's just your choice. Which one of those would you like to, you know, to live? Which one of those lives would you like to have? Well, it's your choice, you see. But you have to do the hard work of getting rid of the fear. And that's not an easy thing to do. But what we've been talking about, it shouldn't be that hard for you to find that fear, because you just start with the negative stuff. Start with the things that make you uneasy. Go find the ego and find the fear, and then get rid of it. Work on it. And don't quit until you've gotten rid of it. Then test it. And if you still get that, you know, feeling, and, you know, it makes you angry, or you start to growl, you know, when certain things happen, well, you didn't get it, you know. You're going to have to work on that a little harder and just get rid of it. You can't get rid of it with your intellect.
Right.
It's not that we're trying to cover over it and make it so we don't react. You see, it's not that we're trying to be slick, and when people say nasty things to us, we smile and whatever, because we're really gritting our teeth. We're enduring it, and we're putting up with it, but that's not a solution, you see. That just internalizes all the negativity. Okay, we don't respond badly. We do the smile, and we say, oh, yes, Granny, you know, it's nice to see you too.
But we're judging.
But inside, we're, you know, thinking negative thoughts, and that's not where we want to go with this. It's not trying to make everybody behave better. That's civilizing. Everyone else will appreciate you behaving better, but it's about you changing, getting rid of that stuff so you don't feel like growling and snapping back and that kind of thing. Not that you suppress it, but it's just not there, because your ego isn't connected to it.
Well, amazingly, we are past the hour, and but I have a feeling that we have given a lot of good tips for people to enjoy the holiday season. If you still are having things happen, please, you know, contact us. You know, contact us on the YouTube, contact us on my website, intuitivesoul.com, contact Tom. Let us know so that we can, you know, give more specifics. If you want more specifics, or if this is good, then, you know, just give a shout. Let us know that too. But, you know, offer us what you need to hear so that we can assist in making this, you know, the best life we can. It's all about how we focus and what our intention is, and whether we can just lighten up and enjoy it instead of getting all caught up in the moment and caught up in our ego. So once again, thank you, Tom. I love having interviews with you, because we really do get to the heart of what matters.
Yes, we usually do. Thank you, Lori. I always enjoy following your lead. You always take the conversation in the most interesting places. So that's good.
Yay. So you can get more about Tom if you check out his website, mybigtoe.com. You can go to a forum from there. I think everything's connected to that. You can get to his YouTube, and I do know that there is hundreds of hours on there. So, you know, check it out. Tom is very generous in, you know, offering information. Most of his workshops have been videoed, so you can be there and understand everything he's telling you, because some of the concepts, not today's show, but some of the concepts in other shows have been more challenging for some people. So you can get it all there by listening to some of his workshops. So once again, thanks again, Tom, and happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving, and
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Yeah, we may even go to Easter. Happy Easter. Happy next 4th of July. And just work our way around the calendar. But actually, what it all boils down to is happy life.
That's it. That's it. All right. We'll be back next month, right before the new year. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have more things to talk about in the holidays, and maybe we'll focus on something else completely different. All right. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.